Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party podcast, now available on Sonar Network. That is right, we are cruising on the network, and I am your host, Alana Johnston. With me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how are you?
Just before we started recording, just before I hit record, you said, I have nothing to say.
I don't. I have no opinion. I have no updates.
Action.
I have nothing to say except the intro. Hello, I'm doing my job.
You're on the Sonar Network. Now you're in the thick, or the NAR, as I
the NAR, as we've been calling it. We're in the thick of it now. It's going well. We've got some huge events.
Well?
Yeah, it is, because we've got a big event coming up.
What's happening?
Well, this Friday.
I love that I have no idea what's happening.
Well, you're in it. You're in the event. What? This Friday, March 26th, we are doing a live
March
YouTube
26th.
Show. Yeah.
Okay.
Friday, March 26th, we are doing a live YouTube show on the Sonar YouTube channel. We have some special guests.
That's
Laura Silvis. Yes, this podcast comes out tomorrow. Stop ruining the intro, Norm. Just stop it. Anyways, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted by a man. This Friday, March 26th, on the Sonar YouTube channel, we are doing a special live edition of Self-Esteem Party Truth or Truth, which is a game I made up. It's like Truth or Dare, minus the dare, plus the truth, because you can't play a fun dare in quarantine. We have special guests Laura Silvitz, Chris Siddiqui, and you better believe my sister, Allison Johnston. It's at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. I hope you guys join us. If you go to the page now and the link, which I've been Instagramming and tweeting, click for the reminder button so you don't forget, and it will pop up and let you know that the show is about to begin. That's the big promo, Norm, and you're involved in the show. So I hope you've cleared your pandemic schedule.
I have nothing to say.
You know what? You're so rude, dude. This is going to be a long day.
I was doing a bit and you yelled at me.
Yeah, Norm, because I'm in the middle of a massive promo.
Okay, that's fair.
How you feeling, Norm, other than bad from me?
I think I'm doing good, actually.
No, how do you feel? You feel bad because of me.
Oh, I don't feel bad.
And that's the problem.
I don't feel bad about it at all, actually.
That's the problem.
Yeah. No, I'm doing pretty good.
That's a first.
Well, I came to a bit of a self-esteem realization this past week, which I mentioned to you briefly, but we all remember the fact that during the pandemic, your boy here literally ballooned into a giant bowling pin.
It's literally all we talk about.
And so now I'm trying to lose the weight. And you are trying to also, we're like, well, hey, I'll join you in this weight loss journey or this back in shape thing.
Hey, I've got the time.
So we made a bet.
Yes, it's a dramatic bet.
And I've realized that the only real, like, motivating factor for me in this is the betting. Is
that's
like a gamble.
Why I made the bet with you, because I know you like to win.
Yes.
So I know it will motivate you.
How are you doing so far?
The bet is called the race to 20. And it's the race to lose 20 pounds. Maybe I need to lose the 20 pounds. Maybe I don't. But either way, I'm in the bet and I'm going to do it.
20 is a lot.
20 is a lot. 20 is a couple of me. So I'm excited for the bet. I'm doing great.
How are you?
I'm already 1 pound in. It's been 2 days.
You've lost 1 pound?
I've already lost a pound.
Wow.
A lot of people are saying just from sitting around.
I've gained a pound.
Norm!
Yeah.
What? How?
It's a bit of a prank.
Yeah. Is it race to 20 to lose or to gain?
I'm showing off. It's like in a boxing fight where you put one hand behind your back.
Here's the thing. Am I going to stop around 5? Of course. I can't take on 20 pounds. I've never lost 20 pounds in my life.
It's going to be, yeah, I think I can do it.
I know you can do it.
Yeah.
I've seen you do it in the past.
Right.
And here's the thing. I think you're a stone cold knockout.
Even with my big fat ass?
Especially with that big fat ass. Yum, yum.
Yeah, it is pretty sad, though, that I need to, like, gamble in order to, like, achieve any of my goals.
Hey, Norm, you're a party man. And like I said, you love to win.
That
you won
true.
Me, didn't you? You're wow. welcome.
Wait a minute. What? Thank you for
you
that.
Won me in the bet against
no,
life.
I
you're
didn't.
Welcome. You know what, Norm? You've got a bit of tood today.
Wow.
Tell us, though, how you seem like you're in a better spot, because what I'm hearing in you, as opposed to the weeks before, prior to this, I'm hearing hope.
Yeah.
That's something that's been lacking. I also think your work with all your reading and all the books that, and the editing and cinematography and everything that you're trying to absorb, I feel like that's really helping too, because you have somewhere to invest your energy now.
You know, it's really funny because I feel like my entire career I've been absolutely winging it. And
true.
And only now am I like, hey, I should probably, like, you know, get some books about, like, what it takes to be a director, for example, and which helps you being an actor and helps you being a writer, etc. So I basically ordered the UCLA director's reading lit. Like, if you take the director's course at UCLA, I just ordered all of the books. So I'm reading them. And yeah, it makes me feel better. And I'm watching a bunch of old movies. We watched the Snyder Cut, actually, the other day. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Justice League. I liked it. I could have done 4 more hours. Sure, it took us 2 days.
It took us 2 days to watch.
I want 8 hours. Yeah. I could have watched that
more flash
all
background.
Day. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to give myself a 6.
Outrageous.
Yeah, it's wild.
I'll take it. Wow, what a day we're going to have, you guys.
Who's on the pod?
And what an episode we're about to have. Very good friend. Super excited. Great conversation, guys. This one was fantastic. We say it in the podcast as well, but you can find her special on HBO Max. It's called Girl Daddy. It's so funny. Yeah. Guys, I cannot stress this enough. It is so funny. Girl Daddy, HBO Max. Our guest today is Beth Stelling, who will be with us right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Beth, we did it. We're in the podcast. It's happening right now. How do you feel being here?
I love being in studio, in separate studios.
Yeah, really, my studio's pretty cool. There's some photos of me in the background of it, obviously, like all studios should have.
Mine is just shelves. And
with all your books. The books you wrote. Yeah, all your books.
Oh, my anthology of books.
Beth, yeah. I'm so glad that you're here. Sure, we gossiped for about an hour before we started recording, but there's still plenty
true.
To
I can't
discuss.
Believe we gossiped
Look at the
so
time.
Long.
Look at
Three
the time.
Times both of us were like, is it off the record?
Yeah,
it's like when you're in therapy and you make sure your phone hasn't called the person that you're speaking ill of.
It's like 100% that. And we kept being, and I kept making a huge deal being like, okay, I don't really say names on the podcast. And then all we were doing was saying the names like 100 times. Before we made sure we weren't recording. Like, you asked me about 40 minutes into the conversation, oh, this isn't recording, is it? And we had already talked for so long.
Whoops. I only checked later.
Okay, so here's how we like to start this podcast. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling in terms of self-esteem? Feeling about yourself today, recently, however,
yeah.
The whole pandemic?
I would say before the 2 bowls of Rice Krispies, Cocoa Krispies I just ate, I would say I was feeling 8 to 9.
Wow.
And now I'm feeling 7, 8 after the Cocoa Krispies because, like, thankfully I don't have an issue with, like, binging or anything like that, but it was like, I didn't need to eat 2 bowls. Yeah. I think I was just hungry and late to eating, so now I feel like not great.
You know what?
So my self-esteem's down when I feel, like, a little full or bloated because I'm like, ooh. That doesn't feel good. I feel like I've got Cocoa Krispies up to my throat.
And you do. It makes, I think, that feeling, because I get that too sometimes, and I do definitely borderline binge and stuff like that, especially in the pandemic, like, hello. But sometimes that feeling to me is it's a lack of control. And I'm like, I had no control in that food situation I was just in. And then it, like, makes me feel bad, because I'm like, Alana, you didn't even, like, try to stop yourself, and you knew it was going to make your stomach hurt. Like, you know, but then you still do it.
I was, what did I do the other day? My man and I were eating, and I didn't finish it, and he looked at it, and he's like, I don't know how you do that, because I just didn't finish it. And I said, I think it's just with age, because I'm telling you, my mom didn't make me be a part of what everyone refers to as the clean plate club necessarily. I mean, maybe when I was young, but it wasn't like, eat all your food or else. Like, I don't remember that. But I enrolled myself in that club there for a couple decades. And now I'm either, I have this habit of leaving one tiny bite. It's not, I don't know why I do that. I just do.
Yeah.
But, or I can just stop when I'm full, which is kind of shocking to me. And I don't know how I got there. Excuse me.
Maybe that's how except you got there. Hello.
Except for the Cocoa Krispies.
Except for the Cocoa Krispies, which have taken over your life, some say.
Truly.
Yeah. I admire that. I guess the phrase of that is intuitive eating. I feel like that's like what people.
Yeah, that's a new term I've heard.
A new term. Like I've never, I know there's books on it. I've never read any because if it's like, listen to your own body, I'm like, well, you're dealing with an addict here that loves to party and turn up. We shouldn't be listening to me.
I can't listen to her.
Don't listen to me. I'm bad.
Dang it, Alana, it cut out. I saw your lips moving, but I couldn't hear that.
Oh, I said, don't listen to me. I'm bad.
Okay. Well, I couldn't listen to you.
Yeah, you refuse. You went, I have to shut my ears. I know it's going to be trash coming out of her mouth.
I don't know why it like could, I could see you talking, but it wouldn't give me sound on you. But my friend that I went to college with close friend, she did write a book about intuitive eating, letting go of Leo, and her name's Simmy. And I would like to read it, but like you're saying, I think if I read a book on eating, like, I just don't think it's for me. And I really love Simmy and the messages she puts out. So obviously it's not any sort of knock to her or even her, cause I think her, all she wants to do is like spread positivity and mm-hmm. what she learned to help herself. So there's nothing wrong with that. I personally, I'm just like, I'm not even anti-self-help book. I just think I don't know. I don't really want to read it.
It's not for everyone. And you know what it is? I never really got into reading books about food, even though struggling with some issues myself, because it meant I was spending more time and mental power towards food. Even if it was positive, yeah. I'm like, I'm already thinking about it. There's so much pressure yeah. from society on a woman's body to make you think about it and diet commercials and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, really? I'm going to give more personal time to this when I could instead be reading a fun fiction story or reading something about someone's life that I really respect and admire. Like, I don't know. It's true. I don't know.
I think, and then of course, I think her argument, and she's not, I mean, you know, she's not some sort of like, she's anti-diet culture.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I absorb her messages through social media because I follow her. And, but I guess her, the, whatever you want to call it, the argument to that would be like, yeah, but give yourself the gift of reading the book. So then hopefully you free up future time, not obsessing or thinking about it.
Yes, but now I have to learn how to read, Beth. This is a massive obstacle for me.
But I agree. I mean, I'm in your camp where I'm just like, I don't want to read about it because then, I don't know.
Because then I have to do it. It's like, God, it's like, listen, this is basically a self-help podcast, but it's like, and people will come on here and make such great suggestions of like things to do and especially during this time and everything like that. But it's really hard to put it into practice. And I already have a to-do list of like things to make myself better. And I'm like, can we just go one at a time here? Like it feels overwhelming. There
you
go.
I think you nailed it with that.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it with that.
Yeah. I would say God. I'm clocking in. I'm going to say 7 or 8. Didn't have any Cocoa Puff. Here's why. I was feeling really good. And I'll show you again to remind you. I made a disgusting...
You're doing pretty good on that.
I'm doing good. I made a disgusting protein smoothie. No, not smoothie. Protein water. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Just for the listeners who need to know, it looks like she went to Dunkin' and asked for an iced coffee with one cream or maybe two creams and then let it melt.
It's disgusting. She's right. Clearly, I must not love myself to put me through that. So, I'm gonna say the 7 because it's ruined a bit of my day, and now I'm gonna have to work really hard to bring it back up because I'm like, you know, speaking of food and everything, it's self-care to give yourself a real meal at the time, like when it's lunchtime, eat your lunch, make it a real meal, all that kind of stuff. Don't deprive yourself and everything. And I didn't do that. It's terrible self-care today. I didn't, even when you were finished your meeting before we recorded, you're like, gotta grab a quick snack. And I was like, ooh, she's right. Good idea. And then I just grabbed like light brown water. Like what?
Although, I mean, I had light brown milk from my Cocoa Krispies.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Maybe if I move, I'll feel better. Not right now, but like after we hang up. Like maybe if I don't want to move, to be honest. But if I go for a walk or...
Honestly, a 1 minute plank and you're done. It's going to...
Really?
I'm telling you, people don't understand the power of a plank. If you just out of nowhere, or if you're feeling a certain way and you do a 1 minute plank, it's like your whole body turns on. For a minute straight, your whole body is turned on. And it's like, I can't help but come out and be like, I accomplished something because I can feel it so much. I walk, I don't feel anything. I'd have to walk an hour until my legs felt something. Really, I would.
Okay, so this is some advice that I've already received from being on the pod. A 1 minute plank.
She's writing it down.
I'm writing it down. 1 minute plank.
1 minute plank. So we're feeling just about the same. We were talking before we started recording about ramping
men
up.
Men who project taller online than in person, but also.
But also ramping up of anxiety and all kinds of things in the pandemic and what we're noticing about ourselves because we have the time to notice it. So we were definitely discussing that. So what's something about you that you've noticed over the course of this year has changed or needs work or surprised yourself with something delightful you didn't know about you in a coping mechanism or who knows what?
You know, I think because the Cocoa Krispies took over. Almost tried to jump out there. Okay. I would say I am not extremely online. Like I think I've had to be for work occasionally, you know, if I'm say promoting my special, which came out during the pandemic in August, mm-hmm. and, a stand-up special for people who might not know. It's called Girl Daddy. It's on HBO Max. I shot it right before the world shut down. Like it was the weekend before everything closed.
Okay. I thought so. I was
yeah, March
I was 7th, wondering.
2020.
Okay. I was March wondering.
7th. So almost about a year ago, which is crazy. Cause I had no clue. Like, by the way, people had mentioned coronavirus, but we didn't feel like we were putting anybody like at risk. It wasn't a time where it was like, let's do it anyway. It wasn't like that.
Yeah, no.
So then I was very much needing and wanting a break, right? Sometimes if you put out a special, the goal is have it get so many eyes on it that your tour coming up is sold out. Like that's the dream, right?
Okay.
But to be honest, I was dreading that because I was very sick of touring. I toured the special so much, I needed a break. So when my shows got canceled in St. Louis the weekend after my special, that was just a vestige of the previous tour when I didn't know what I was going to film. Normally, you'd shoot your special and be like, maybe take a couple weeks off or something. Okay. But so I get to St. Louis and it's like, I remember texting with Jamie Lee, another comic. She's like, where are you? I forget where she was at the time, a different Helium. And I was at the St. Louis Helium Comedy Club. And she's like, are you going to go on? I was like, I don't know. Should I go on? I don't want to put people at risk. It was like that. The following weekend is when it was like, they were leaving it in the comics' hands, which in some ways is irresponsible. And in other ways, I understand. But the clubs weren't shutting down because they're businesses and they want to make money. They put it in the comics' hands. I mean, I walked with no money, of course, which
stunk. Yeah, see, that's what I'm – no, I don't agree with them making that choice. It's like – because – I don't know. It's a moral decision. You're like, I'm trying to protect your audience, dude. Like, it's really shitty to do to you guys, to be honest.
Yeah, and in the moment, it felt very like a hard decision.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, it was a hard decision, and then it wasn't because, like I just mentioned, I really needed and wanted the break. So in part of me is like, I don't want to perform tonight. Yeah. It's almost like...
it's almost like
maybe this
COVID
is bad
saved you.
To
COVID saved you.
It, yeah, I was gonna assume this is bad to admit. It would be like someone being like someone who plans to never get married, saying like, "I'm not getting married until everybody can get married." You know what I mean? You're just like, okay, well, you didn't want to anyway. So then I flew back to LA, and I haven't flown in. And obviously over a year, which is so strange. So this is all to say my life changed drastically from what it was. Now, there's some words I find myself getting sick of. Even the word trigger. It's like people take words and then like overdo them or ridicule them or mock them to the point of well, I wish extinction, but instead it just takes all their power away. Mm-hmm. Getting triggered is a real thing. What it's become is annoying to me. And the same other buzzwords like that for me, at least, and maybe this is like a comedy community thing, are codependence, depression, even I guess anxiety, autism, on the spectrum, Asperger's. So those are all like words that I've grown tired of hearing and being misused.
Okay, yeah.
But the truth is, if I were to examine further, I would say I used to consider myself such an independent person. And oftentimes I was felt smothered by my partners that I was dating.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not writing on a TV show, which I'm very grateful to have those jobs and work hard at, I'm touring every weekend.
Yeah.
And I would consider that very independent. And I'm also, oddly, as I've grown as a comic, more introverted. And I also don't really party. Thankfully, I don't have an issue with alcoholism or drug abuse. I just don't really need it.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, my sort of weakness would be sweets. You know, if I go and do a show and people are like, hey, we want to go out with you afterwards. It's not that I want to be into it. There's always this part of me that's like, I wish I wanted to do that. But I want to go back to my hotel and like eat candy and watch TV and be alone. I just talked for an hour.
I love to party and I don't want to go to location too. I came to work.
Yeah.
Like truly, it's like it would be after a show at UCB or something and everyone's like, let's go out. And that's unpaid work. That wasn't even me making money. Yeah. I was like, I did my part. I just entertained you guys for an hour and you want another free hour out of me? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. In some ways it is also, if you think about it, the more I've aged and grown as a stand-up comedian, it's my time extends like on stage, right? So if I was a host, I was doing 15. If I was a feature, I was doing 25. And now I perform minimum 45, but I was performing an hour every night in preparation for my hour special.
Yeah.
That's a lot of talking and it's a lot of energy, even though I am pretty subtle and low energy. But the point is, it's like you're this flower that, like, you know, is supposed to be out there in bloom. And then you're very open and delicate in some ways. If you're to go out to a party, you're just going to get freaking trampled on and like, blah, blah, blah. You know, I feel like I want to go in and just go back into my little, you know, bud.
I mean, all that and just touring and everything, you're going to wilt away. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It was a lot. And I don't want to be I also don't want to be the person who's like, I think I had COVID, you know, because it's a very serious thing for sure. But I was struggling a year ago, January, February, to catch my breath on stage.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor and she said it was anxiety and gave me like Ambien and a nose spray. My therapist was like, don't take that Ambien.
Yeah.
No. So I didn't. But so in my, I can't necessarily separate what I was feeling. It could be anxiety, which was having trouble catch my breath. I also, sorry, I'm talking so much right now.
I insist.
I also sped up my speed, I think, for this last special. I used to be like kind of much slower in my comedy,
yeah,
and drawn out. And I would say this special was a clip.
It was rapid fire. It was rapid fire in a very good way. Like, you didn't give the audience a chance to settle because you wanted to keep the add on to the joke, which I loved. But I will say, from when I first saw you, yes, I agree. It is different. It's very different. I agree.
Yeah, like which is ago. Interesting because, like, you don't technically plan those things. Mm-hmm. They just happen. And I think I also cut so much fat from the special. Like, there are jokes that I wanted to put in, but I couldn't fit them perfectly or whatever. They slowed me down or were off topic. So anyway, I'm going to get to my point, which I guess is, like, potentially I was traveling so much I could have caught something. I remember Payman Benz directed my special. He came to see it in San Francisco when I was running it in January. And we both discussed how we had been feeling ill for such a long time and couldn't shake it. Mm. And it was a chest thing. So again, could have been seasonal or typical flu or something like that. But it was interesting, you know, fatigue, shortness of breath.
Yeah, but if it was like, I mean, have you ever had that before? Like, what are the odds? You've never experienced this. And then all of a sudden at the exact time of this deadly virus, you're experiencing it. And like, listen, it's very possible you had COVID because this is how it spread. People got it and then we didn't know the title of it. And then they spread it.
I will say, after San Francisco, I announced to the crowd I was feeling ill. Like, I said nothing to be, like, crazy alarmed of. I said, but I'm feeling very tired. My throat is sore and I'm having trouble catching my breath. I said this on stage. I said, so please let's not do a meet and greet afterwards. Like, if you want to try to talk to me a little bit afterwards, I will be at the bar saying, waving bye. But let's not, like, hug or shake hands. Mm-hmm.
And?
I mean, and that was in nobody did. They were all like, thank you, you know, and waved and stuff.
Wow.
But that was just like, that was before COVID was really in the ether.
Well, that's okay, also smart, so, across the board. Just get those grubby fans out of there. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, you're right. It's true. Like, as much as I love and really appreciate, I have wonderful people coming out. I genuinely am, I don't want to say surprised, but I am, like, heartwarmed by some of the people that come see me and say what they do. I'm just, it makes me, I have to remind myself of that sometimes to keep going. Cause sometimes I think, like, Jesus, what do I have to offer? And then I'll have to, like, look back at a journal and think of, like, a woman who came up to me in Burlington, Vermont, this woman who was, like, in her 60s. And she's like, I've been alive this long, and that was the best comedy act I've ever seen. Like, you just have to take those moments and, like, treasure them, because mm-hmm. it's so easy, especially in the world of social media, to be like, well, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that and I'm not doing enough and what do I have to offer, you know? So I just have to, like, go back to those one-to-one experiences, well, that we just basically lost in this last year, to keep me going. Because without performing,
yeah,
I found myself, going back to a word that I'm sick of, potentially codependent on the men that I started talking to or was sort of seeing or dating. And I started talking to someone in October who I'm still seeing. And I've had to have some very real discussions about it, about codependency. Because in this time, you know, maybe you meet up at a park outside with masks. Mm-hmm. And if you choose to keep seeing each other after a couple dates and getting tested regularly, both of you, then you choose to spend more time together. And then you should spend every night together after not knowing this person, A, so they're new and fun. And then B, you've been alone for so long.
I was just about to say, and they're your only option. Like, once you bubble, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And if you break the bubble.
So I found myself being what I would guess I would call codependent. So then I'm wondering, was I always like this? Did I always have this level of anxiety and worry or mistrusting? I mean, you don't want to be someone who, like, lives in the past of your bad experiences, right? Like, if a guy cheats on you, you don't want to be the person who's like, well, I've been cheated on and I can never trust again. Mm-hmm. But it is work. And it takes work from you and your partner.
Yeah, but...
Because if your partner cares about you, then they need to know where you're coming from and be consistent for you.
I think you're putting too much... I don't know what better word, blame on yourself or accusation on yourself.
I do that quite a bit.
Yeah. And you are doing it right now because, first of all, and I don't use the word codependent often. I think it's really hard to identify. I think people do loosely throw it around. And I'm like, there is an actual definition. And, like, if you ran this past a therapist or something, they might not say the same thing you're saying. Right?
That's why I think I prefaced it.
Yeah.
That,
but it's like, because. Yeah, we heard a buzzword and that's it. We're all about it now. But it's like, I think you're putting too much on you because I know a lot of people you've dated. I was with you when you got the tattoo of your ex-boyfriend on your back. Yes. I got my tattoo in Arabic that said power, uwe. So I was with you. I know all about your relationships. You know about mine. And I will say, you were too busy before to be codependent. Like, really, like, even when you were out on the East Coast, it's like, you're working, you're doing stuff. So by default, you couldn't even be codependent. But then somebody takes all of that away from you and plops one person and only one person in front of you. Listen, I don't think I'm codependent on Norm. I think he's all that's there. You know what I mean? So what am I supposed to do? Not hang out with him? When I have zero options, he happens to be my husband. Great. But if he was just a friend and we were bubbled, he'd be the only person I saw. And then what? I'm labeled as codependent? No, I'm labeled as a woman with no other choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think I really got wrapped up in it and worried because I was placing so much. Like, I just found myself. Okay. So I guess I should say even why I came to maybe the word codependent was like, I wondered if I'm getting my adoration, attention from strangers in a crowd in a controlled hour at a time, mm-hmm. nightly. Not nightly, but weekendly mm-hmm. or whatever. And then it goes away. how do I know if I'm good or funny or worthy?
Oh, yeah.
Dude. And if I'm not getting it from the person. So I think that's, it just illuminated how I really need to have, because like, I guess I'm always, I feel like always a tornado in my head, always a duality. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, new guy I'm dating, he's so into me and he's great and I feel confident. He's a bad person hiding things from me, cheating. You know, like, and the same thing, like, I love my body. I'm confident. I feel good about my career and the things I've accomplished and who I am. And then I'm like, you're getting older and you don't know if you're going to work again. Like, I'm really always, it feels like waffling. Because I think it's like shameful to say like I'm insecure because I want to be always confident.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I also enjoy being vulnerable. I mean, like, yeah. My mom will say to me, like, your sensitivity and your vulnerability is your strength. So it's like I just constantly feel a tornado inside of me, basically, is what I'm saying.
You know what? You're a comic, and it's actually your job to feel like that. And here's why. Your job as a stand-up is to try to guess everybody else's perception of a situation and opinion and then form your own in a way that doesn't alienate theirs, but they can somehow find it either A, relatable, or B, intriguing. So your job is to think 1,000 things all at the exact same time. Look at when you're on stage. Look at your own special, okay? You have a preset written hour, okay? But within it, an audience member says something or looks at you in a certain way, or the Jeremy, right, pipes yeah. up, and all of a sudden, you not only have to remember all your jokes and what you're doing, you now have to hop on this guy, figure out his thing, how to make him laugh and everybody else laugh without him being fully embarrassed and isolating and ostracizing him. So it's like, yeah, there's a bit of a tornado. Like, yeah, dude. And I'm only talking about work. I'm not even talking on the personal level. When you're somebody that has to go on stage and like sacrifice your humility, humanity, everything about you to make other people laugh, to pray that other people laugh, that to me is the definition of insanity. So it's like, of course, we're going to feel 1,000 things. And it's yeah. it's where insanity, you know, meets art is brilliance. Like that's where it comes from. So it's like, and I don't think that means someone has to be off the rails or reckless or whatever to be a mad genius. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the vulnerability that you're talking about and that your mom's talking about. So it's like, you go out there strong, you leave raw, which in turn makes you stronger, but you're thinking all that simultaneously while trying to perform. It's like, the odds are stacked. Yeah. The odds are stacked against. When somebody says it back to you, yeah, the odds are stacked against you. In a yeah. in a good way, like in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, so then for that to go away, I mean, like the thing is too, it's continued on. So,
what does that mean? Like in person, in like, just anything?
I want to say almost the words. It's like, I want to say I'm sick of myself. And then my therapist will step in and then it'll come to myself. Like, come on, be nice to yourself. Like, don't say negative things like that. Like, you're sick of yourself. But it's the idea that I'm like, I had a great job writing thing. I was doing punch up basically on a movie.
Okay.
And the star of it really liked my work out of a group of really incredible writers and said, I want her to write the rest of my jokes for the movie. Whoa. Which is incredible.
Yes.
And it's a big deal. And I felt good. And it's like the minute it's like in that room of a small group of great writers, I was just like being myself and doing my thing. And he noticed, liked it, and wanted more of that. Mm-hmm. And the minute I sat down to do that, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So it's like, I wish I could build upon some confidence, really.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit frustrating. I want, and then at the same time, while I want to get mad at myself for that, I'm like, be gentle. So, I mean, it's just, I say I'm annoyed with myself, because then from that, I got another, you know, maybe one other thing. The real story is, I write jokes for him. They like those so much, they say, could you please do a polish on the whole movie? So that was the progression of it. So each time I'm literally proven wrong, and yet I'm still back to one.
Yeah.
So I need to find a way. It's frustrating. And I'm sure, like, I've had some wonderful comics, younger comics message me. I'm at that point now in my career and say things like, I really look up to you. And I'm honored, and I think I'm open and ready for that, but it is a new place mm-hmm. to be. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like the kid sister writing for other people for so long, and I am a kid sister. I'm the youngest. So it's like to step into my adulthood and to maybe realize that, oh, I'm influencing other people in that way. It's like how I need to find a way to build upon that so I'm not back to one each time.
You know what? It's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot to take on to be a role model or to be someone that somebody like looks up to. That's tough because when our here – if or when a hero of ours let us down, you were kind of crushed because you're like, well, I spent my whole life trying to be you. And, and so now you suck.
That has happened, I would say, within the last year. Someone was like, oh, he's a piece of shit. And I was like, oh, well, man.
And listen, anybody watching Woody versus Pharaoh, you're like, yikes on that one. It's like, what else can you say?
But, I mean, I don't want to contribute to the whole like, well, I always hated him. Because you know when something happens and it's like, whatever, something comes out about something like, well, I never liked him. It's like, that doesn't give you extra points for, I for just knowing, had no, you know, but I really did never like him. I think it's because he reminds me of my mom's second husband.
I didn't have an opinion about, so I didn't really know the full story. I think that's the whole point of the documentary, same. Right? I didn't, and I was young when this was happening a long time ago, like same as you, we're the same age. And so it's not like I had an opinion on him. I found I didn't latch onto his movies. They're not my kind of movies. So same. I had an opinion where it wasn't a favorable one. It wasn't on a personal note, but because I already wasn't necessarily into all the movies, some of them I liked, when all this stuff came out about him, it's really easy for me to write him off. I was like, well, you kind of weren't there the whole time for me anyways.
Yeah.
But that's hard if you did look up to him and it's like, you can't deny he made a lot of movies. He got a lot of stuff done. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck it, I'll turn on anybody. I don't care. I don't care. I'll turn on anybody. It doesn't matter to me.
I mean, basically, everybody needs to, I guess I'm stating the obvious, but everybody needs to learn how to take in new information and change their opinion.
Yeah.
And that should be America's normal. Not like, well, you didn't do this, or you didn't always do this, or hey, back then you voted this way. It's like, okay, but now I'm voting this way.
Dude, it's like what happened with plastic. Everyone was like, this thing's amazing. This material's the best. And then everyone went, oh no, it's not. So it's like, what am I going to do? Crown myself king of plastic because I liked it a couple years ago? Like, I don't think so. But anyways, the whole point.
Elena Johnson, king of plastic.
The whole point is you've got some responsibility now that you've got some people messaging you and what have you, but you're still the best selling deep down that started off not knowing what we were doing. And we sometimes don't allow ourselves to see that maybe we do know what we're doing, because to me, that little underlying thing where you're like, oh, I'm in over my head. I hate to say it, makes me work harder. Hate to say it, but it does.
Yeah.
It really, you're right. It really does.
I mean, the thing that held us back up today, we were supposed to start a little sooner than we did. Well, besides the gossip, was, a potential basically job where I would be in what we're discussing, needing to be the person who knows, mm-hmm. needing to be in charge. You know, that's what why it was so long. And it's like, where we are, like what we're talking about now, this is present time, and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling in my head, I'm going like, the person's looking at me like, I want you because of all the things you've done. And I'm going, what things? You know, like.
You guys, she's covered her face and is talking through her fingers. This is what it's come to. I get it.
I'm talking myself up even in my head. Like, no, I could do this.
It's like when Norm tells me I'm attractive. I'm ready to divorce him. I'm sick of the lies. I won't have it. I won't have it in my own home. No. Don't you dare.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that to me, that's the biggest travesty of our lives is like, I look at you, I look at my sisters, and I'm like, I've told you this to your face, so you know, where it's like when you're doing your dancing on stage and singing, and it's like, you are dynamic, hilarious, gorgeous, you know, your body's incredible, and you're funny. God. And it's just like, I know you're like messing around a little bit about the Norm thing comment just now, but it's like the biggest travesty to me is like why we can't bottle that up and fucking drink it every morning, because your friends and loved ones would definitely bottle it up for you every day.
Yeah.
And let you drink it.
And that's not a bad business idea. But just as a side note.
After I said let you drink it, it felt really weird.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'll ride with this.
How about, like, I don't even...
drink me in, baby, the king of plastic.
The king of plastic.
Have
let me bottle it up. Yeah,
have a sip in this beautiful watered-down protein shake. Disgusting. Yes, I wish we could bottle it up, too.
Maybe it would be like this. Maybe instead of, like, drinking something every morning that your friends... made for you of all your compliments and attributes that are amazing. Maybe it's just like glasses or something that you put on and you look at yourself in the mirror and it's like how your friends see you.
Mm-hmm.
And like little words pop out around you that they feel about you and then you can take them off.
Oh, see, I like yours. I was going to say an after dinner mint.
Ooh, a little I like that.
A little smaller. You're in control of when you take it. You've had the whole dinner to think poorly of yourself and now just a bit of a pick-me-up.
I like that.
You know what, guys? We've put out quite a few business ideas in this episode. And guess what? They're open for business. You can take them and run.
You can take them and run with them.
We want you to.
I mean, yeah. Consider us as invest. I mean, you know, maybe giving us a cut.
Please.
Something. Or at least a special thanks.
Yeah, just a shout out. I'm not asking for much in my whole life.
No.
Just a bit. Oh, here's my dog. Okay, see you, Mia. I got a dog.
What?
Yeah, dude. A real live dog is in my house.
Are you?
I'm in
charge.
Let's
get real. Do you regret it?
Yep.
I would too.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've never had... I don't know how to own and operate a pet. So if we're talking anxiety, now I'm judging myself about how good or not good of a dog mom I am. So it's like I've just added to the pot. She's fine. Like she hasn't done anything to me. On purpose, but it's like now unintentionally she reeks, but like now I just have something else to torture myself about. I completely do for that reason, and that's messed up. That really is messed up.
Well, speaking of another one of my buzzwords that I said I'm sick of, if it's not real, and I think it's, again, it's a result of me being around comics for so many years, and maybe that's also who I follow online, so it's a lot of like I'm so depressed I blank, you know.
Same.
Meanwhile, we've actually lost people to depression. You know what I mean? So I wish people were less reckless with it, but whatever. Comics are also in the biz of exaggeration, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which I've also always personally grappled with. Because, yeah, like, people think I'm not being serious. Go to my dad's website. Like, the things I say on stage are my life.
Yeah.
They're real. Anyway, I went on a tangent. I was going to get into, I was piggybacking off of, is it Mia?
Mia, yeah.
Nina?
Mia.
Okay. I was planning to adopt, but I fostered a couple kittens. I don't even know when this was now, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I was kind of also encouraged or bolstered by my young boyfriend at the time.
Yes, of course.
And he was about to like move. Yeah. Yeah, make this bad decision.
Please.
Anyway. And I've always loved pets. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a veterinarian. So it's not like, obviously, it's not an issue of not being a pet lover or something.
Okay.
But I got them and I wanted them. But I will say I've noticed OCD tendencies for sure my whole life in my dad. You know, to the point of like, you know, washing hands to rawness and like clothes washing. Like, this sounds like, I guess, creepier than I'm meaning it to. But like the minute we took off our clothes as kids, clothes are up and in the washer,
mm-hmm,
like to a crazy extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say crazy.
I don't think that sounds. I mean, everybody has their things, and with hygiene, people are very particular, so I understand that.
And then when it wasn't us, because we would just visit our dad,
mm-hmm,
it was the dog, and I'm talking brushing its teeth, showering with it, wiping its butt with a wipe after it goes.
Yeah,
like
no.
That's my dad's own thing, an issue. But I will say I have adopted some of those characteristics in my own life. It's for sure how I feel in control,
mm-hmm,
cleaning. And I'll also notice if I'm in a relationship and I'm cleaning a lot, especially after they leave or while they're there, it's like because I don't want to be in the relationship and I'm trying to feel control over something because I can't break up with them because then they'll be mad at me and I'll have hurt someone.
And God forbid.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at is when I had the kittens, I was working at The Last OG, season 3, and I had to drive to Encino, which actually wasn't really that far. Mm-hmm. But that's where the office was. But I was waking up in the morning, cleaning their kitty litter area and everything for 1 hour, mm-hmm. going to work, coming back, cleaning one more hour, and then I had to, like, go do a show. They got fleas somehow, and that was the turning point.
Nope.
Which, by the way, in my mind, I'm like, how, right? Because they're just in my home. But I do believe, and it's baffling to me, my neighbors, we don't share anything. I guess we share a wall, and that's where the same wall where their litter box was. They took in a fully and flea-infested stray, and they told me. And I'm telling you, they were, like, washing everything repeatedly in their washer. We have separate washers. Sorry. The point I'm getting at is somehow the kitties got fleas. And that was, like, I couldn't.
No.
I had to, like, get a new rug. I sprayed everything repeatedly. I was making myself sick breathing that stuff in. The good news is I did find a new home for them where they were being loved and cared for, but it was actually extremely traumatic and sad because I wanted to be a pet owner and love these little pets, but I just couldn't because of what I'm guessing was some form of OCD or control or something.
I have the same cleaning thing as you. In fact, I actually think we've discussed this in the past about organization of where we live and everything. I have my Saturday morning, I clean everything, I wash everything, takes me hours, and my place is not that big for it to take hours. Then I do a midweek Same. Vacuum scheduled on Wednesdays to get the hair. And when I'm me trying to, like, let go a little bit more and relax, I said to Norm on Wednesday, I went, you know, I'm not going to do the midweek vacuum this week. And he was like, okay, like, clearly didn't care. Come Saturday, I vacuumed, and I was like, this is what happens when you don't do a midweek vacuum. And I was, like, so upset that there was so much hair, and I'd been living in it, and it, like, I follow this dog around. Like, she can't take a step without me wiping something after her, and it's not okay. It's not good. It's not the way.
So you can really relate.
I can really relate. It's not the way I'm supposed to be acting, and so I regret it. But do I think it was the most necessary thing for me and my OCD tendencies? Yes, I do, because I've had to accept there is hair in the house and I have to leave it for a day or two without vacuuming the whole place every single day. Because that's not acceptable for me, because I know it won't stop with the vacuuming, right? It'll now more things, it'll add on and the dishes. I'm wiping things now, and COVID is not helping. Especially at the beginning, right? When we didn't really know the information. I mean, that did not help. It was like,
I bet.
Oh, I'm wearing gloves just to wave at Norm from across the apartment. You know what I mean? It's like, that's where it got to. It was pretty bad for
you
a
guys
bit.
Just start wearing condoms out of nowhere.
But just on our hands. We're like, hey. You know, guys, you got to protect yourself. Safe sex, safe wave. Thank you. Okay, so this is really interesting. The original question I had asked was something you would learn about yourself or whatever in the pandemic. Here's the thing I'm going to say. I want to generalize it maybe because it applies for me. I wonder if it applies for you. I feel like the thing that both of us have possibly learned is that we have tendencies that can easily ramp up if not monitored at all times. Does that apply to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say
it requires a lot of control. And I say monitoring just to, you have to, like, keep an eye on it. Cause if there's something I'm not keeping an eye on, like today, next thing I know, I haven't had lunch. For someone that's had food issues, that's not acceptable. That's not okay. That's not healthy. And it wasn't cause I was busy. It was just, I just, like, didn't even consider it. But I'm like, you have to monitor those things and ask yourself, what would a human being do in this moment? And the answer is eat lunch at the appropriate time. a human being.
It was so easy in all this to just, like, let a week pass. Like, that was the other part of it where I guess in some ways I learned, like, wow, touring and work is the only thing keeping you moving.
Yep.
So I wasn't motivated by working out because I didn't have that in my schedule. Like, I worked out when I could or when I, you know, my workout was field hockey, pickup games.
Oh, but then those went away. Yeah.
So that was sad. And it's like, I'm not like a regimented work exerciser. So, like, there would be days when I wasn't going outside. And it's like, it's funny because I don't think of myself that way. I don't think of myself as a... I know it sounds silly to say I don't think of myself as a homebody when we literally had stay-at-home orders. So... But like even just to breathe outside for a bit, I think what it is I am also a rule follower.
Yeah.
So it me felt too. Like I didn't even get innovative on what I could do.
Yeah.
To keep myself active. I was just like, they said stay at home and I stay at home. And I kind of went too deep, too inward, too in my own little cave where I didn't want to come out again. And it went from my therapist thinking like, this is a good thing. You needed the break. You can, you know, turn inward and sort of rejuvenate to my therapist saying, like, I think you need to do some of these outdoor shows you're being asked to do because you're losing your confidence in who you are. And yeah. I was looking for it with the man I was seeing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like that. Obviously, I want to feel good about myself. I also want to feel good about myself outside of my job, which is interesting and difficult to reckon.
Oh my God, that comes up on the podcast all the time because we mainly interview comics, and everyone without shows or filming, because a lot of production stopped, we're all mm-hmm. like, and I can say this too, truly lost. I don't even know a better word for it than lost. And I was like, that's been the last years. I'm like, okay, Elena, you need a couple of reasons on a short list why you like yourself other than you can make people laugh. Because I also stopped seeing people. I'm a big rule follower and I stopped seeing people, and Norm had to sit me down and he was like, we need to start seeing people. Like, we stopped outdoor hangs. Like, I mean, we stopped. And yeah. He was like, we'll wear double masks. We'll do whatever we have to do, but we have to start social distance seeing people again.
I think he was right. Yeah.
He is right.
I think. Yeah.
So, you know, they
sorry,
go ahead.
What?
I was going to ask, did you end up doing the outdoor shows?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the first one back really was reinvigorating and I felt like myself. But the interesting thing too is that the guy, my boyfriend came with me. And he's not a comedian, thankfully. I shook it. And he said, you know, he basically expressed how attractive it was to see me have so much fun and be so funny for this crowd. So it really pretty much reinforced that, like, performance is how I receive adoration and confidence and whatever. You can call it sex appeal. I mean, like, my partner was attracted to me because of it.
Oh, my.
So it's like,
Beth, my butt hangs out on stage on purpose. Yes, of course, to be sexy and attractive. Of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's that old, I've said this numerous times to friends, and it's like, you know, you're supposed to say, I'm not my art, you know? But I am always saying, like, I'm not my art, but it's really hard to tell us apart. I mean, I am on stage talking about myself and my life, and rarely is it exaggerated.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the comic who's making stuff up.
No, you're really not. Like, you're really not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. So it's just like, I went to this years ago. I don't know how long it's been now. 3-4 years. I went to this healing trauma program in Tennessee over, like, a Christmas time. And one of the rules was you're not allowed to say what you do. And that was very difficult for me.
Yeah. Did they catch...
Because what am I?
Did they catch on?
I almost made sure of it, Elena.
Huge burn on that center. I almost made sure of it.
Yeah. And, you know, also, like, we had a... It was group therapy, experiential therapy. And, you know, whatever, things that came up too were just like humor as a defense mechanism, sarcasm as a defense mechanism, all that stuff.
I don't know, dude. I mean, for some people.
Yeah.
Because what if it's just natural? What if you're like, this is what I do to make money? It's like, I don't know. It's not my fault.
Yeah, one thing that came up was like, I was feeling like I need to share everything on stage, you know, like, because that was just what had come naturally to me for so long.
Okay.
So I was putting myself a little bit through hell to the point where, you know, I was discussing all, like, very raw and hard to make funny things.
Yeah.
And my hand was shaking to the point where that I had to put my hand here in my armpit while I was talking. And it's like my body was physically reacting to me discussing some of these difficult topics, but I was still making myself do it. And it's like I just did it because that's what I do. I'm a comic and I talk about my life. So it, the one benefit, of course, nothing's going to change your life overnight in a week, whatever, you know, it was helpful. One of the takeaways was just like, maybe some things are just for you. And the other takeaway was like, would you tell your mom's story on stage like you tell your story? And I'd be like, no. And she's like, well, then why are you doing that to yourself? So it's just like, you know, I'm not saying like, mic drop. But it was just like, yeah, like it's so much easier for me to look at you and say how I want you to feel about yourself than to feel about me. So I think it's just, that was one of the takeaways. And that I hadn't lost my light. Yeah. You know, I really felt like I had been snuffed. So I think that was another takeaway.
I'm glad you did it. I envy that. I think it's one of the reasons why I keep up with the podcast, because when the pandemic first hit, I stopped for like 2 or 3 months, right? Because I was like, I can't. I have nothing to say. I can't do it. And then I restarted.
I felt that way too. And then especially after, for me, especially after George Floyd, I was like, what would I have to offer the world?
Oh, don't get me started.
I can just sit down and shut the hell up for a bit. Yeah. You know, like, but then to still see people continue their memes and their shows and their stories, it was almost making me angry.
Yeah.
So I found myself growing bitter. And it's also not a place I want to be, where I was like watching people online during this pandemic, like, new show, and I do this thing now, and here's my little pandemic show, or this new thing I'm doing. I want to watch other artists like try to find ways to bring light to people. I don't want to be bitter, like, you should just be quiet in the corner.
Yeah, I agree. I had messaged my friends last year on my birthday asking them not to post, because it was, my birthday's at the beginning of June, and all the shit went down at the very end of May, beginning of June, and all the protests had started and everything like that. And I was like, I begged them. I was like, please don't post. It's not right. If anybody's messaging me to say happy birthday, I'm going to feel sick about it. Like, because it means the attention is not on an issue that matters more than me, right? But I realized, you know, I got a talking to from a couple of pals to be like, it's okay for you to still live your life. Use the events that are happening to better it and better it for other people, and learn a couple lessons and maybe spread the word on them or of any, yeah, whatever message you can possibly get out. Because it's like, how are we going to invoke change if we're all just walking around hating our guts? You know what I mean? Then you're just going to be so busy hating yourself, you're not going to like open your eyes to the rest of the world. So it's like,
yeah,
that was the motivation to come back and do this kind of, you know, semi self-help podcast. And honestly, guys, I know I say this every single week, but good God, did I need to start talking to friends again? Like this,
yeah.
We gossiped for like 45 minutes before we started. And I'm like, oh yeah, because I just like stopped talking to people. For 3 months, I stopped talking to people. Like that was it.
Yeah. I think it's the, like we, like, somebody's here, I think. Coming. I don't know who it is.
Okay, I'll vamp.
This is a podcast. Okay, I'll vamp. I love you.
She has to answer. Somebody could be a criminal. Someone's at the door. I don't know. Oh, okay, well, not a criminal. It's her boyfriend. It's fine. Hi.
Hi. Chris, Elena, Chris. Yeah, but you can come in.
Just to give the audience a bit of information, he's very attractive, and I don't know if he can hear me or not, so I'm whispering, but he's so hot.
To give the listeners a little bit of information, he's very attractive.
Oh my God, Beth, I just said I don't know if he's listening or not, and now you reveal it! You really are an honest comic. You truly are. He's hot. I love you. Yeah, he's hot. Okay, so you did the live show, back in the game, feeling a little more like yourself. Are you seeing now what, because your therapist had said of, or be kinder to yourself, or, you know, not so mean to yourself. Or,
oh my God, yeah, that's a constant remind that she's saying.
Yeah, but are you realizing now that you got to do the show and get it out of your system, are you being like, oh, okay, maybe I was hating myself a little too much for absolutely no reason, because it turns out I'm still quite funny and know how to do a job.
Like going back to the earlier comment of like, every time I get a new job, I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, okay. So I definitely had a few, you know, like I mentioned, him coming to the first one and feeling like so good and excited. Yeah. And then the next one, I I didn't bomb. It just didn't feel as good.
Okay.
Like, I think I just got two in my head. And that's to be expected after not doing something for, like, a year or whatever.
Yeah.
But the shows since have been a nice progression forward. And the last one I did on Friday, mm-hmm. I felt more like it is important that I'm there. A couple girls came up to me afterwards and were just like, you know, we've been following you around and we've been coming to all your outdoor shows and you always do new stuff, which is another freaking anxiety thing of mine.
I can't even imagine how you're writing new stuff. Truly can't imagine.
Yeah. So, but I'm going back to some old stuff I had that like I mentioned to you, got cut out because mm-hmm. it was just, you know, didn't quite fit. So I can revive that and work on that.
Good.
And, you know, you've done stand-up. Like, you've tried it at least.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still think, I always encourage everyone to do it. You're hilarious in your own way, but I suppose, like, you've created your personal, like, I actually, I guess what I'm saying is you created something of your own, right? With your show, with your self-esteem parties.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, like, that's so much more, I know you don't need to be gassed up, but it's like, that's so much more impressive because to me, it goes back to my rule following thing. I just go up into the mic and I talk into it like I'm supposed to.
No,
and
yeah.
You were like, guess what I'm going to do?
Yeah, I was like, I found this bodysuit online in which all my body parts hang out of it. I better write a 1-hour show surrounding it.
But see, that's like that, whatever. We can be impressed by each other and have them be mutually excuses.
Here's the thing. Yeah. And we should be impressed by each other. And we should say it more often because, you know what? Until we can get back to not what it was, but what it will be, the new version of that, maybe we do need to bottle up a couple more compliments, truly. Because
you're right.
Where, you know what I mean?
Like when I came and saw, especially like at your show at El Cid and like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, coming there is just like. It is pretty cool. You created your own thing. It's like,
go ahead and say it. A dynasty. Just go right ahead and say
king,
it.
King of plastic.
Baby. I wish you guys could see my hands in the air giving out peace signs.
I think I am. I'm back to just being like, and my friend Madison said this too, where he's just like, he said, like, I wrote it on my fridge because I was like in a dark place. But he's like, just paint what you see around you. Like, the table's already set. People are there. Like, they want to hear what you have to say because they like how you say it. So just, you know, you don't have to think too hard on it. People were there to have a good time. Yeah. So I'm back to almost what I would consider like our early days of Chicago. Silliness.
Yes. The old school of when, like, you did it to
when
do
it. Wasn't like, because, yes, yeah. because I, as I've aged, I have grown and wanted to do things I care about and say things that I want to, like, I don't know. It's not that I want to change people's opinions, but it's like, if you watch the special, it's like, yeah. I want to have things that I actually care about. And maybe if my perspective would help open someone else's mind.
Yep.
But now, after what we just discussed, like over the summer feeling like, what do I have to offer? I'm a little bit going back to the earlier days of like, let's just be silly. Cause I think that's maybe what we need.
Because what else can we do? Hello. It's like, dude, we have nothing. We have truly nothing. So it's like, and yeah. Even if you have something, you kind of have nothing at this point. Cause you're still trapped in your house. No matter how much you have something, you're like, yes, but I am trapped in a house. So it's like, it feels like nothing.
We just get on Zoom to play Zip Zag Zop later.
I mean, truly. But it's like, no, I think that's great to get back to basics. You know what I mean? Because it is a rebuilding. We're not going to go right back to what it was. Even look at you. It's like you have those old jokes, but you're building on it. You're expanding. Yeah. You're vamp. You know what I mean? It has to grow. So it's like we need to start somewhere. And the best place to start for the second time is where you started the first time. So, yes, I'm willing to have a bunch of unprotected sex with anybody who wants it. Hello. That's where that point's going. Honestly, I can't believe Norm married me. I bless him. Really.
I 100% know why he did.
My butt. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the major factors.
Major factor. because he knew he could get a lot of plastic if he was with me, obviously. My new business.
Look, as I say, looks aren't everything, but they are.
But they are, and I agree. And hence, you know, your boyfriend walked in and, yeah, smitten immediately. He didn't say a word. I didn't hear anything.
So he said hello.
Nice guy. He didn't say hello. And he's nice, you see? Okay. So bad. What a whirlwind this has been. You started the podcast originally before the Cocoa Krispies, an 8 or 9. Then we had 2 bowls of Cocoa Krispie, and then we were 7 or 8. How are you feeling now? And the number...
I'm feeling genuinely 9, because also I think the laughing was
What?
I think the laughing was equivalent to 1 minute plank, is what I was trying to say.
So the plank is out. We've done the plank. The plank is out.
I can put a check mark next to 1 minute plank, because I wrote it down.
You did write it down.
Yeah, I did write it down right here.
Oh, we're getting the proof. And if you guys could see this notepad, it looks like the movie Beautiful Mind, because boy, does she have a lot of notes on there, and there is no organization to it.
No, oh, this was the 2-hour meeting.
Oh, this was the meeting. Yeah, I can tell it was a long one. There's a lot of notes. Yeah. And then a tiny 1 minute plank. Okay, you're going to say 9. You know what? I'm going to say 9.1, because you just said the nicest things to me. I really didn't realize I needed to hear them, because I was feeling good today. And then you hear that and you're like, oh, I could feel 1,000 times better if I just remembered this within the next hour.
Yeah. How I see you.
Yeah. You know? It's just like, if I could... just like you said already, if you could just remind yourself of it, you can be a 9 or a 9.1 or whatever. So I'm going to say this. Okay. This is a self-esteem party challenge for everybody this week. Everybody at some point this week has to remind themselves of one positive thing somebody said about them. And if you don't talk to anyone and have no one in your life that likes you, then I'll say it. Here it is. You have good taste in podcasts. Done.
I couldn't agree more.
Done.
Remember that.
Okay, Beth, tell us again the name of your special and where we can find it, and then give us where we can find you online for posting all the shows and stuff.
If you'd like to watch the hour special, it's called Girl Daddy, and it's on HBO Max. And you can find me online just at Beth Stelling.
Guys, I've seen the special. I mean, I reference it a ton. Obviously, I've seen it, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it's like you are ruthless and relentless in how much you will not back down from a joke. I mean, it's wild. It's like, I mean, it was, you were on the attack in the best way possible, and everyone in that audience wanted to get sliced. You know what I mean? It was like, I mean, it was just fantastic. I really can't. And a lot of people come on here with specials. No promotion for them, because this is the one to watch. Okay, great.
That's the pull quote of the century for me.
That's the quote. If you guys would like to follow...
I will quote the king of plastic on that. It's going to be on my website.
That's my thing I'm reminding myself of. If you guys want to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. And if you love the podcast and my face so much that you need it on your body or in your hands, please check out our merch at Tee Public. Just type in Self Esteem Party and you'll see those gorgeous curls. Beth, thank you so much. Stay on the line for further gossip.
And ending recording now.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.